Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us today. I'm Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and glad to have you with us. Before we begin our show today, I thought we'd throw out a little bit of kudos and a shout out to Adams Road Band. If you're kind of wondering where our intro music and the music as we close the show comes from, it comes from Adams Road. Adams Road is a group of guys. A lot of them were former missionaries. In fact, all of them were former missionaries. Came out of the LDS Church, formed a band, have been singing gospel songs ever since. And if you ever get a chance to hear them, by all means, I would encourage you to do so. It's ironic that the song that we have at the beginning is called Saved by Grace. It's from an album they call Enemies of the Cross, and which I think is very fitting for the theme that we have today. Wouldn't you agree, Eric?
Yes, and if you want to hear more about Adams Road Band, you ought to go to their website, which is adamsroadband.com. They are an incredible group of guys that did leave the church in 2005, starting in 2005 with Micah Wilder, and they just came out with a video, DVD recently, just in the past few months, that tells the story in a documentary kind of way. What's the name of that, Bill?
Unveiling Grace. Unveiling Grace. It's not only just Micah's story, but band members' stories, as well as his mother and father, I believe, is also in that video.
And if you get a chance to hear them, they do travel usually in the summertime, and usually are in Utah. In 2011, they'll be here in August. And but throughout, whenever you hear about Adams Road, you're going to want to hear this band perform live. And I also want to throw a shout out to Brian Main, who does the voiceover for us on our intro and our closing, as well as the commercials that we have at the end of the shows. He's the voice for the San Diego Chargers and has volunteered his voice for this. He's the PA announcer there at San Diego and is a friend of the ministry through Dean Imhoff, who is a friend of ours. So we have people who have helped us with this radio show to put us on the air.
Yeah. Now, getting to our topic today. Ninth President David O. McKay was speaking in General Conference back in April of 1959, and he made this statement. He said, in 1923, in the British mission, there was a general instruction sent out to the members of the church advocating what Brother Gordon B. Hinckley has emphasized today. We did not spend money advertising in the press. The feeling in England was quite bitter at that time, but we said, and he's quoting here, throw the responsibility upon every member of the church that in the coming year of 1923, every member will be a missionary. Every member a missionary! Exclamation point. You may bring your mother into the church, or it may be your father, perhaps your fellow companion in the workshop. Somebody will hear the good message of the truth through you. And of course, in that context, he's referring to what Mormons believe to be the restored gospel. What McKay was emphasizing, and this little phrase has caught on over the years, and I still hear it even today, is every member of the Mormon church is supposed to consider themselves to be a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, oftentimes, you will find that some Mormons are kind of reluctant to talk to you about what they believe, and they feel that that is the job of the official missionaries in the Mormon Church, which right now there are tens of thousands of young men who wear the little black badge and the title of elder, as well as there are a number of sister missionaries, female missionaries, and there are also missionaries in the church that are actually retired couples. Mm-hmm. And usually you'll find them at visitor centers throughout the world. I remember seeing missionary couples, for instance, when we lived in San Diego, Eric, at the Mormon Battalion Visitor Center. And these are members of the Mormon Church that go out and they devote their time to propagating what we would call the LDS version of their gospel. But the reason we want to talk about that is, you know, not only are Mormons encouraged to consider themselves as missionaries for their cause, but those of us within traditional Christianity, of course, would consider ourselves as missionaries, that we are, in fact, ambassadors for Christ. So.
Yeah, well, in 2 Corinthians, Bill, chapter 5, verse 17, starting in verse 17, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And when a person becomes a new creature and he has a new nature inside of him, which it says that Christ is in us now, verse 20 goes and says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so this idea that we have the ability to represent Christ wherever we go as an ambassador.
What's sad, however, though, is many times Christians, because they do not feel qualified or maybe feel intimidated by the black badge. I remember one time during a Q&A at a church that I was speaking at, one woman got up and she says, I'm just so intimidated by those badges because these young men are elders in their church and I don't feel qualified to be able to talk to them. And I had to kind of calm her fears there. Says, look, being an elder in the Mormon church really has nothing to do with how much you might know. It has everything to do with how old you are. And I kind of related my own experiences because you and I both, Eric, we've talked to hundreds of missionaries over the years. Sure. And many of them are very sincere. There's no doubt about that. And I think they need to be commended, actually, for wanting to devote their time to their cause. I may not agree with their message, but certainly the fact that they would want to do this is commendable. But most Christians, I would say, probably don't see that same kind of a calling. And so when the missionaries come and knock on our doors, whether they're Mormon missionaries or even missionaries for the Watchtower Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, I've often kidded that the number one method of defense for many professing Christians is to ignore the knocking on the door, pull down the shades, turn down the TV, and tell the kids to be quiet until they leave. And we miss a great opportunity to be able to talk to these young people.
Well, Bill, there are 52,000 missionaries out there, Mormon missionaries, who are serving their time. The men at 19, they're 19, they serve for 2 years. And the females, if they're not married yet, by the time of 20 and a half, they serve a year and a half. I think we need to understand that these are young people. That I don't know how many young people from my church I would be scared who are 19 and come to my door.
I've often said that you don't find too many 19-year-old theologians going door to door, that's for sure.
But, you know, they are doing something that is a pretty it's a big step for them because they're spending 2 years of their life outside of their home. They're only allowed to call home twice a year to mom. And I mean, they basically are working 16-hour days, 6 days a week. They are to be commended in the sense that they're passionate about it. Even though they are sincere, they're sincerely wrong. And so I think instead of just slamming doors in people's faces, which some Christians think is a positive witness, they can just slam the door.
That's a horrible witness. Let's just make that very clear. That's a very horrible witness.
I have talked to missionaries who consider that persecution, and I would too. And so I think that's a horrible thing.
Let me stop you there because that's a good point. I think the Christians need to understand that these missionaries, after they leave our door, are going to go back with a story to tell.
Absolutely.
And if we have been bad examples, they're going to use that. They're going to use it against us. And I've heard missionaries talk about, you know, those kind of stories. And it's you know, not really my place to apologize for everybody, but I feel bad when I hear those things because certainly I don't want to be that kind of an example.
If you don't want to talk to them, I think the nicest thing you can do is open the door and say, you know, I'm not interested. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, then that's something that you should do. But I think either slamming the door or hiding behind the couch, as you referred to, Bill, is a horrible witness as well, because I had one missionary tell me he would find those kind of homes where he knew they were home and they weren't going to answer the door. He'd stay for 5 minutes and he kept his finger on the buzzer, and he said it was, you know, and they had the cross on the door or whatever else. And that's really sad that Christians are not willing to at least learn a little bit about not only what they believe, but what these other faiths are believing, and be able to have an encounter. You may have an impact on somebody that might be incredibly life-changing. Michael Wilder had that experience when he talked to a pastor in 2005, and Micah's intention was to share his faith with the pastor, and it turned out the pastor asked some questions, challenged him to read the New Testament without having anything else in front of him, and Micah did take him up on that challenge. I talked to Micah last year when he was here in Utah, and he said that he had recently talked to that pastor for the first time, and the pastor was bewildered. He couldn't believe that Micah had the story he had based on this one conversation. You never know what's going to happen.
No doubt. And I often wonder, too, how many stories we're going to hear throughout eternity of people that were touched because a Christian decided to take a chance and actually risk a friendship, even, to tell somebody something that they needed to hear. And oftentimes, I think Christians are afraid of risking that friendship, and so they don't say anything. And, oh, my goodness, the tragedy behind that, when you could have had a great opportunity to share something and not even knowing. Maybe that person was yearning to hear some things. You don't know what's going on in their minds. And many times the Mormons will make it sound like they've got everything together and they're not interested in your story at all. But you don't know.
Well, you know, even salespeople come to our doors. And just a few days ago, I met a salesman and we were talking for a while. We ended up getting into a half-hour conversation, Bill, on the topic of faith. He's a former Jehovah's Witness, lived in that church for 20 years, and now believes that his good works and his faith in God, which really he doesn't go to church or anything else, he just believes by being a good person that he's capable of attaining God's best, and is really confused, but was very open when the topic was brought up. And I'm hoping to have lunch with him soon to be able to talk further on this issue.
I've also had conversations with people coming to my door, and it's great. And one thing neat about living in Utah is you're going to find that people are usually more open to discuss, you know, religious issues with you. And we should be able to take advantage. But of course, a lot of Mormons feel intimidated because they don't feel well trained. Well, you're going to have to do a little bit of studying if you're going to have an intelligent conversation with Mormon
Absolutely.
People. And you should do that. I mean, you have a responsibility living in this area. Take advantage of it by all means.
That's one of the things that this show is supposed to be, Bill. We're trying to explain not only what Mormonism is teaching, but we're trying to do a little bit of theology on this show to teach you ways of proper Christian thinking, to have a Christian worldview.
You can feel confident, and you don't have to be an expert in Mormon theology either to do that. That's really a misnomer, but there are a few things that you should know and you should study, and hopefully we can encourage you to do that. We're going to continue this topic about how we as Christians are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ in our next broadcast, so we hope that you'll tune in and listen to this as we look at what does the Bible say about allowing Mormon missionaries into our homes. We'll be looking at 2 John 10.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.